He shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be the one of peace. In the Gospel of Luke, we read the account of Mary and Elizabeth's visit. Elizabeth, who is the wife of a priest who, in her very old years, has become pregnant with the child who will be John the Baptist, and Mary, who has just learned that she will be carrying the Savior of the world, and how these two women finally meet. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leapt in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy according to the promise he made our ancestors to Abraham and to his descendants forever." And Mary remained with Elizabeth about 3 months and then returned to her home. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Pray with me. May the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. It would have been such a different story if Jesus had been born in 2009. The account might have read something like this. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel sent a text message to a virgin named Mary. "You are having a baby, LOL, God's son, OMG, name him Jesus." And Mary posted a message on her Facebook account that said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord." Then she set out and went with haste to Borders, and there she purchased the book, What to Expect When You're Expecting the Messiah, and the best-selling Virgin Birth for Dummies that Dr. Oz had recommended on Oprah. And then for fun, Mary bought 10,000 baby savior names from Alpha to Omega, even though she knew the name of her child had already been decreed. And Mary also bought a book for Joseph, to whom she was engaged, and the book was How to Be the Best Adoptive Father in All of Creation and Raise the Perfect Son. In those days, the decree went out that all pregnant women should be registered, and Mary went to the nearest Target to be registered. And these are the items for which she registered: 12 boxes of swaddling cloths, regular and disposable, a camel car seat for the upcoming journey to Bethlehem, 3 tubes of halo ointment, and for herself, maternity outfits, all in shades of blue. And Mary proclaimed, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, but I am still going to call Nazareth neonatal and sign up for the Lamaze class. The Mighty One has done great things for me, but how am I to do my deep breathing in a stable full of foul-smelling animals? And in that region, there were paparazzi out in the fields and cities, keeping watch over everyone else's flock by night. And suddenly there was in the headlines of the National Enquirer a multitude of headlines smearing God and saying, Holy Ghost gone rogue, and pregnant teenager claims to be carrying God's love child. The gospel according to Kathy Bostrom. Thanks be to my Sunday school class. Okay, for a lot of reasons, it's a good thing that Jesus was not born in our day and age, and that Mary didn't have to deal with the conveniences of now, most of which would have just gotten in the way. So Mary didn't head to Target. She headed for the hills to see her cousin Elizabeth, who was way up in years and 6 months pregnant with another unexpected child. We know so little about Mary. She appears out of nowhere in the first chapter of the Gospel of Luke. The Bible says nothing about her family. We don't know if she had brothers or sisters or how her parents reacted to her incredible news. We don't know if Mary had any friends, and if she did, whether they stuck by her when word got out. We don't know if Mary was quiet and shy or bubbly and outgoing. She has no genealogical connections except through Joseph. But none of these details really matter. What matters is that God made the choice and that Mary was up to the task. This much we can say about Mary. She knew her Jewish history. As soon as Elizabeth confirms the news about the baby that is just beginning to grow in Mary's womb, Mary bursts out in a song of praise. It glorifies God not only for what he has done for her, but for what God is going to do for the people of Israel. Through this baby, God fulfills the hope of the people that has been held in their hearts for generation upon generation. This much we can say about Mary. She knew enough to say yes to God, to trust that God would help her figure it all out. That kind of trust is hard to come by, as most of us well know. Mary knew that what was happening to her wasn't just happening to her. It was happening for the entire world and for all of time. The baby born to her was not hers alone. Mary's good news of great joy came to all the people, as the angels would proclaim at the moment of Jesus' birth. The good news of Jesus was for the lowly shepherds out in the fields and for the esteemed scholars and wise ones in the East and every sort of person out there. Mary got it. She knew it, accepted it, and welcomed it, that her son would not only be her son and God's son, but the world's savior. It is an amazing act of faith on Mary's part. When our first son, Christopher, was born, hard to believe, nearly 25 years ago, Greg and I were serving as associate pastors in a very large congregation in western Pennsylvania. Chris's birth was heralded with great joy, not only by our immediate families, for whom he was the first grandson, but both by the entire church family as well. Christopher's first official entrance into public life came at the annual salad luncheon held by the women of the church. This luncheon was their big fundraiser for mission, and the entire community attended. Hundreds of people poured through the doors of our fellowship hall for food and fellowship. I brought Chris over to the church just a little bit hesitant because I was a new mother and still tentative about letting other people hold my baby, but I was also kind of wanting to show him off a little. He's a cute guy. As I entered the fellowship hall, which was already just packed with people, I was greeted by a dear friend who said, "Oh, I'll hold Chris for you while you go fill up your plate." How could I say no? I knew this person. She was a trusted friend, and I was hungry. Hadn't sat down to a meal by myself for a while. So I handed Chris over, and with more than just a little reluctance, I went to fill my plate with all those scrumptious salads. Only a few minutes passed, and I, from my place in the line, I looked over to see how Chris was reacting to being held by someone he didn't know. I mean, I knew this person, but he, of course, didn't. And to my horror, I saw that my friend's arms were empty. No Chris! Panic rose up in my throat, and I barely suppressed a cry of alarm, and my frantic eyes started to search the room, and I dropped my plate, and I ran over to my friend, and "Where's Chris?" I choked out, and my friend just looked at me with a big smile, totally oblivious to my panic, and said, "Oh, well, Martha wanted to hold him, so I just passed him over." About that time, I noticed a commotion at the far end of the hall, and then I saw my beautiful little baby boy being passed from person to person to person around the whole perimeter of that hallway. As each new person took my little son in their arms, smiles of joy just broke across their faces, all across. Everyone was so happy to meet the baby of the two, in those days, young pastors of the church. And right at that moment, a great truth pierced my heart. Our son was not just our son. He belonged to all the people. Because of our role in the church, Chris would grow up in the community of faith, and that was a good thing. And he would bring great joy to many people, as all of our children have. I needed to embrace that truth even as I watched all these people embrace my newborn son. Now, I'm not claiming to be at all like Mary, even though I do like the color blue. And even though our son's name means one who carries Christ, neither we nor he would claim that he is anything but a wonderful, extraordinary, ordinary, and very regular human being. The world doesn't need another Messiah, thank God. But every time I read the story of Mary, I am awestruck with the amazing way that she got it. Right off the bat, she knew that this child she carried was not just her child, would never be just her child. And Mary not only accepted that truth, she welcomed it with open arms. Wow. It is an amazing act of faith on Mary's part. What would the world be like if we were all a little more like Mary, to so easily and joyfully welcome Christ into our lives, even when it means an earth-shattering change for everyone involved? There are so many things, modern conveniences included, that get in the way of our receiving the simple truth of God's unbelievable love for us, brought to birth in a tiny baby boy. But God did not expect Mary to go it alone. He brought Elizabeth and Mary into each other's lives, these two very different women in extremely difficult circumstances. The unwed teenager and her old childless cousin became the first Christian community. The absolute craziness of God's love in making the two of them mothers for the first time at the same time multiplied their wonder and joy and made it possible for them to do what God had asked them to do, to bring the Savior into the world for all time. You know, we are not meant to go it alone, this walk of faith. No more than I was meant to isolate my baby boy and keep him to myself when his life brought such joy to other people, which not so surprisingly increased my own joy and enriched my life as a mother, which is the greatest role I've ever been privileged to live. You know, we are not meant to go it alone. From birth to death, to all the joy and sorrow that lies between the two, God brings other people into our lives to let us be the church together. In this Advent of 2009, let us carry this truth with us from the story of Mary and Elizabeth. Yes, things would have been a lot different if Jesus had been born today, but nothing would have changed the basic facts that God loves the world so much. He chose to come into the world as a newborn baby, a baby whose beginnings may not have made sense to a lot of people, but they made perfect sense to God. A baby whose life would change our lives, indeed would change the world forever. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing. Pray with me. Lord, it is an incredible story, unbelievable even, and yet you choose to come into our lives in incredible and unbelievable ways. You call us to be the church to one another, as Mary and Elizabeth became the first Christian community and helped each other through a difficult and wondrous time. So too, Lord, let us be that to one another. For to us a child is born, and his name is Jesus. And that is good news of great joy. Be with us, Lord, as we seek to be your light. In the name of the child of Bethlehem, we pray, and let all God's people say, Amen.